Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is a day that the Lord has made.
Everyone, get on your feet, 'cause you're in for a real treat. I give you the Honorable Reverend Eaton.
Amen. Amen. I'm Reverend Eaton, and these are the Eatettes. And I want to tell y'all how the Lord done blessed me. There was something missing in my life, but I knew if I talked to God, He could make things right. So I got down on my knees and I began to pray. And this is what I...
Hey, Reverend Eaton by Positive Light Ministry. And a shout out to Willis Boyd and Shante Duncan. This short play about Vietnam military veterans Kiara and Wendell will be one of the highlights of the second annual Military Veterans Stand Down on Saturday, November the 16th, 2013 at the Vortex, located at 2341 East Olympic Boulevard. We will have more about that event in our community calendar. May the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. My name is Melvin Ishmael Johnson with my co-host Earlene Anthony coming at you from Skid Row Studios. Our call-in number is 800-893-9562. Listen to us live or download our show and any past show by Googling in skidrow.la and hit Qumran Report. This week on the Qumran Report, we have Hunger Action LA, and I'm delighted to have with us in the studio from Hunger Action LA, Frank Tamborello and Jerry Higgs. Welcome to the Qumran Report.
Thank you very much for having us.
Okay, Frank, yes, I want to start off with you, Frank. Can you tell our listening audience about your background and how did you get involved with Hunger Action LA?
I didn't realize that hunger was a problem in the United States until when I was living in Houston back in the 1990s. There was a study going on called the Childhood Hunger Identification Project. And I signed up to work with that study, and we actually went door to door talking to people about, did they have enough money to feed their kids? How were they eating? How were their kids eating? And I was really shocked to find that some of the parents said they sent their kids to bed occasionally without food. And I came back and I told my supervisor, Oscar, and he said, yeah, it's probably more than that. Those are just the ones who will admit it to you. So when I moved out to California, I looked for opportunities to get involved in that hunger issue. And it eventually evolved into what we're doing at Hunger Action LA, which is working both with policy, educating people about how to speak out on hunger issues with their own voice, particularly people who are directly impacted by the issue. Mm-hmm. And then trying to do something about it in an appropriate way, which we'll let you know more about that later.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you tell our listening audience exactly what is Hunger Action LA?
So it's a nonprofit organization, but it's more than that. It's a grassroots community organizing project. So anyone can be a member of Hunger Action LA. When we have our meetings, we have homeless people in the same room with executive directors of other organizations and just a wide variety of people doing different things who are all interested in ending hunger, particularly here in Los Angeles County. We're just like the capital of hunger in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move over to Jerry. Can you tell us about a little about your background and how did you get involved with Hunger Action LA?
Well, it started off, I was in a program called Homeless Healthcare here in Los Angeles. And one of the case managers asked me, do I want to go up to Sacramento? And I said, Sacramento, what's going up there? And he told me more about it. And then actually, he introduced me to Frank. Then I got more and more involved in it because I'd never been into the politics or, you know, things like that. I've always had a helping hand of, like, trying to help other people, but not in that, way.
Mm-hmm. So we hooked him into it.
It became, real more and more interesting. Mm-hmm. And then I became more and more involved, and I spent, like, about maybe, I don't know, six, seven years ago.
Mm-hmm. Been involved with him.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about, Frank, can you talk about the upcoming cut to CalFresh food stamps that's coming up on November the 1st? Talk about that.
Yeah, it's something else because, there's been a lot of talk on the media about Congress, and Congress had recently voted on a $40 billion cut to food stamps, but this actually has nothing to do with that. Back in 2009, when the president first took office, they passed the bill that's usually known as the stimulus, the American Reinvestment Recovery Act. And the idea was to get a lot of money out in the community, get people to start spending it, buying things, hiring people as a result. And so they gave everybody in the country a 13% across the board raise in their food stamp allotment. And as you pointed out, it's called CalFresh here in California now. So that was always intended to be a temporary raise, and it wasn't supposed to be taken away until the annual slight raise in food stamps exceeded the inflation of food prices. But as a result of all the bickering back and forth about the budget, the date of the expiration of that raise has been moved up all the way up so that now on November 1st, families all over the country, but here in LA County too, about 600,000 families are going to find that they have, depending on how many people in the family, a family of three might have $30 less per month than they had the month before. And it's going to come, we're afraid, is a real shock to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. And this began November?
Yeah, this is going to happen on November 1st. Tomorrow, October 1st, the same families are going to get a slight raise. But then on November 1st, it's going to be overcome with an even larger cut, which is the pullback of this raise that happened in 2009. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we're promoting is our program called Market Match at 12 farmers markets in LA County. And through this program, we can give people, currently it's just like a $5 bonus each time they're using their food stamp card at the market, or if there's someone getting SSI, someone who's a senior or disabled, mm-hmm. or they're in the WIC program. And we're hoping to be able to bump that up to $10 come November so that we can take some of the edge off of that food stamp cut. And these market match vouchers that we give away at these farmers markets, they're just for fresh fruits and vegetables that are grown by local California farmers. So in addition to addressing the issue of hunger among those families, especially that's going to come with that food stamp cut, we're also trying to support small to mid-sized local farmers who are using organic methods in California. Mm-hmm. So kind of the same dollar can help two people, can help mm-hmm. the guy who's spending it, and it can help the farmer who's getting it.
Mm-hmm. And they'd be able to use these at most same place they use the food stamps?
Well, the way it works with Market Match, you get the vouchers only at that market. Mm-hmm. So they will have to go to one of the 12 markets that's offering the program, and those can be found on our website, which is hungeractionla.org, and you'll see the Market Match tab at the top of the page.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I think it's important to understand, I think you mentioned, I think I saw it on your website and when you was here before, about the number of people that's on food stamps in the United States.
It's at a record high. It's 46 to 47 million people. So that's about one out of every seven people. So if you yourself are not getting food stamps, you probably know someone who does. Mm-hmm. And you can just imagine that with all that money being spent at stores, how much of a support that is to the retail economy. I think I read somewhere that like in Oklahoma, one third of all the food stamps are spent at Walmart. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering what Walmart executives are thinking about these ideas that are being tossed around to make major cuts in food stamps. They couldn't possibly be happy about it because mm-hmm. it's really more than just a program to help hungry people. It helps the entire economy.
Mm-hmm. Now, Can you also talk about it's a little commotion that's going over about the volunteer food distribution line in Hollywood. Can you speak on that for a little while, either one of you, Jerry? What's happening with that?
Well, what it is, they're trying to shut it down. They're complaining about feeding the homeless. They want to actually just move it away to somebody else's neighborhood. There's getting a lot of flack about drug use and rowdiness and stuff. But what it is, I don't think it's pretty much a lot of people are in the neighborhood is doing this. I think it's outsiders that don't want this thing to keep going on.
Is it close to where the farmer's market is at?
Actually, it's at Sycamore and Romaine, so it's kind of on the border of Hollywood and West Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like Jerry was saying, this is really a local issue that could be worked out if people were talking to each other rationally. But there's been such an exaggeration of the kind of things that are bound to happen when there are some people with mental illness. You know, of course, there's going to be some issues here and there. But what's happening is they've sort of exaggerated it into a case that's even going to result possibly in a citywide motion by Councilmember Tom LaBange. And so what we are really resisting is any kind of effort to trample on our constitutional rights to assemble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there really should be a right to share food, a right to eat in public. And many organizations in California attempted to address this earlier. The Homeless Bill of Rights,
mm-hmm.
that was one of the issues that Jerry was talking about when we went up to Sacramento. And it basically just says that if you're in a society that allows people to become homeless, you know, just like people can become very wealthy, they can become very poor, then, you know, you have to allow them to do whatever they need to do in public.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not saying that we're trying to promote a homeless lifestyle or anything like that. But if somebody is homeless, there are a lot of things they can't help but do in public, and eating is one of them. Mm-hmm. And it's a fundamental human right. It's even more fundamental than the Constitution. So the West Hollywood issue is just a case where I think there's been a little bit of hysteria and exaggeration. And sure, there's problems. There's going to be problems at any kind of, any kind of volunteer operation. But this could be worked out locally instead of being made into a citywide issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because actually we're going to be needing these programs even more now that they're doing these cuts through CalFresh.
Mm-hmm.
Because where are they going to go? A lot of people depend on these places to eat.
Can you explain exactly what it is, the food line, exactly what they do?
Well, it actually is a time to get a hot meal.
Mm-hmm.
Majority of the people that don't have, you know, the money, if they get in, okay, I'll give you an example. People that are on general relief, they have a certain amount, $200 and something, mm-hmm. Every month. And plus a small portion of food stamps to last through the whole month. And they have to go to food pantries, food banks, in order to survive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because actually I've talked to a lot of seniors that are actually saying that they only can eat once a month. And thing is, once a day.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they don't have the resources. One, you're a senior citizen. You can't, especially if you don't have transportation. You can go to the food banks. You can't go to the food pantries to get the food and stuff, to bring it back to prepare for yourself. So.
How many times a day do they serve food?
At this food line that's the subject of all the controversy in Hollywood, it's once a day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just one time at 6 in the evening. But they do it every day, including Saturdays, Sundays, and holidays. And like Jerry said, for a lot of folks, that's going to be their only chance to get a meal. Because when you're homeless, you don't have cooking facilities.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of limited in what you can get. Even if you do have food stamps, you know, what are you going to do? Sit and open cans of stuff or carry around, huge items that you can't refrigerate, that you can't store. So like he said, there's actually going to probably be more of a need for these programs as food stamps and other programs are cut. You know, we had the sequester, which was yet another one of these budget crises that mm-hmm. seemed to be popping up every month in the federal government. And that took some money out from the home delivered meals program, the Meals on Wheels program. Mm-hmm. So already there have been, seniors are suffering. More people are put on waiting lists or they can't get as many meals as they used to. And this is one of the issues where we got to actually hand it to our city council. Our city council did pass a resolution, decrying these cuts. And, we're in a society that's getting older. Mm-hmm. The whole baby boom is all coming old at the same time. So mm-hmm. there's only going to be more and more demand for programs like this. And I can't imagine, people just for political gamesmanship wanting to cut these programs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me ask you this. Can you talk a little about how to encourage people to do their own gardening and share food with each other and how this restores self-sufficiency and it can help the local community?
Actually, that's a good idea because, especially if you live in a house, you have backyards and stuff like that. That's an advantage to living in a house. You can do gardening and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then you can maybe share it with your neighbor that doesn't have those facilities. Somebody's in an apartment, stuff like that. All they had to do is just open up their backyard and say, come and eat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, we have some people in L.A. who had been planting on the sidewalks
yeah.
on the turf part of the sidewalks. They call it the parkways. And the city has actually been fining people and arresting people for doing this. We'll probably try to get a guy on your show, a gentleman named Ron Finley, who's become like an international celebrity mm-hmm. because he was just planting vegetables, putting this vacant land to good use, and the city fined him, I think, $700 for this. Well, eventually, Hunger Action LA, along with numerous other organizations in Los Angeles, decided to campaign to make this, legal. And just a couple of months ago, the city council, they didn't make it legal per se. What they did, they said they were going to suspend enforcement of the rule that keeps people from planting on the parkways. So that was a victory for urban agriculture. Mm-hmm. And as our cities become more crowded, as our environment becomes more polluted, and as more of us don't trust the food that's coming from the corporate sources that it's been coming from, just like there's going to be an increased demand for the food lines, a lot more people are getting very interested in gardening.
Mm-hmm.
And we can celebrate today that Governor Jerry Brown actually signed a bill, Assembly Bill 551, which allows cities or counties to set aside vacant land and prioritize using that land, kind of giving first dibs of it for urban farming.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's been an explosion in community gardens all over L.A.
Well, let me ask you this. I love farmers markets and stuff because for a long time I always went to the one that's downtown, the big farmers market. But I see the farmers market that crop up all over. And the thing that bothers me about it is the high prices. What can we do to bring some of the prices down that the community can afford at some of these farmers markets?
Well, that's another reason for the Market Match program. It's kind of mm-hmm. in recognition that those prices are a little higher for quality food. But the more people that shop at farmers markets, that brings the prices down. And if you actually look at some of the items when they're in season, the price is pretty comparable to prices at the supermarket. But another angle to look at is the prices you pay at the farmers market are what the actual cost of food is. A lot of that food, that processed stuff that we're all buying and eating from the supermarkets, that food has been subsidized at some point down the road, and that brings the cost down. For example, mm-hmm. The government basically subsidizes the production of a lot of corn, and some of the ingredients such as high fructose corn syrup that end up making a large portion of the food that we eat, they're basically getting that for free. So they can sell mm-hmm. it for very, very cheap and still make a high profit off of it.
And it's bad for the health.
And it's bad. So part mm-hmm. of it is that it's not so much that the prices at the farmers market are high. It's that the prices we pay at the supermarkets and places are artificially low.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't stop it from being a bad thing that the prices are high, because we all need to afford food like that. But at some of the farmers markets that have been in low-income areas for a long time here in L.A., such as the one at Adams in Vermont, which is kind of like the flagship market for our Market Match program, you'll find that even without the subsidy, without the Market Match program, the prices are comparable or better than that of the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always impressed when we're there and talking to people who are very low-income people and asking on surveys, why are you shopping at the farmers market? They say because of the quality. They said, mm-hmm. This, we don't want our kids eating the junk from stores. We want them to taste what real food tastes like. And some of them, you know, are immigrants from countries where they're used to growing their own food, and they know kind of what the taste of real food is, which mm-hmm. is something that a lot of us, I think, have never experienced, and so we've lost the taste for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that's another beneficial thing about it. And I think that the more people that buy from the markets, and also the more that we can open up avenues for those same farmers to sell in other venues, then they can bring some of that overhead cost down, because they'll be selling more of their product.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think it take to put a farmer's market in the Skid Row area?
I'm going to let Jerry handle that one.
What would it take to put something? I think the closest thing that they have, wow. I know on Sunday they have one on 6th and Spring, 5th and Spring. Yeah.
Okay, first I guess is to find a location.
Something like Gladys Park or St. Julian Park. Or would take a better location than that?
Well, not really. It would just have to be some place that... it's open for the vehicles and stuff to come, come on and
set up.
Enclose your soul safe and set up and stuff.
And I think the demand will need to be there too. You know, if you have the farmer set up and nobody's going to buy the stuff, but on the other hand, if and again, we're talking about a lot of folks who may not have cooking facilities.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So maybe particular kinds of fruits and vegetables that are easily eaten by hand. Or maybe in addition to the farmer's market, having like a sort of a what they call a pop-up restaurant with someone who can make salads on the spot or, fruit salads or things like that. I think everybody loves to eat healthy food. Everyone likes the taste of it. Mm-hmm. But it's just getting the opportunity. And, if you're on Skid Row and you're without cooking facilities, you're without plates and forks and stuff, you're going to become overly dependent on whatever is brought to you by volunteers from the outside, maybe. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of starches there. There's a lot of, maybe salty and sugary foods. I think a farmer's market could exist on Skid Row. I think it would be look a little different from the farmer's markets that we know. Mm-hmm. And I think there would really have to be like a preparation component there with it.
Mm-hmm. To go along with. Okay. Now, let's talk about... what is Senate Bill 283, dealing with? I think that deals with something about removing the restriction that they put on food stamps in relationship to those who have a drug conviction.
Yes.
Talk about that for a while?
Oh, yes. What it is if you ever was convicted of sales for narcotics, you get out, you pay your debts to society and stuff, and you try to get back on your feet. They'll give you the cash aid, but as far as goes, the CalFresh food stamps, they deny you of that.
Mm-hmm. If you got a drug conviction. And I remember, we was talking about the last time, this started in Texas with Phil Graham or somebody like that.
Yeah, Phil Graham was the one in the U.S. Senate who basically raised his hand and called for a voice vote and said, I think we should ban food stamps from anyone with a drug felony. And that was in 1997. And since then, it's been up to each state whether it wants to continue that rule or not. And California is one of like 15 states, I think, that hasn't completely gotten rid of that restriction. We tried again this year. That was another one of the bills that we went to. And unfortunately, we were not successful again. They held the bill in the Assembly Appropriations Committee.
Yeah.
They said that it would cost the state too much to implement, which we feel is a real cop-out, because the cost they're looking at is not the actual cost of the food stamps. That's federal money. They're looking at the administrative cost of the food stamp workers. But this is overcome by the amount of federal dollars coming into the state economy. And like Jerry said, it's essentially wrong to continue punishing someone who's paid their debt to society. Mm-hmm. Why do you want to withhold food from this guy? In fact, when he was in prison, how much were you paying to give him 3 squares a day, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of connected to the whole prison industrial complex and also to the new Jim Crow that Michelle Alexander talks about. Mm-hmm. It's a way of just continuing to punish people after they've already done their time so as to permanently make them into kind of an underclass or somewhat of a lower citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And actually, what are you actually telling them? You know, how can I feed myself? You know, especially if you were a mother, mm-hmm. and have some went on bad times, stuff like that, and then you come back out, you pay your debt to society,
and still can't
get no assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's just like pushing you back into the world of crime.
Mm-hmm. And is that what this bill is about?
Exactly.
About removing it.
What's the status of it? Yeah, well, it got held in the Assembly Appropriations Committee, which is a polite way of saying that it's dead and that we're going to have to, you know, look for another means of trying to get this accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
In the future. We actually tried to also get a piece that would have accomplished the same thing during the recent negotiations over the prison budget, which also didn't work out too well for, you know, advocates of true reentry into society.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's not over. It's never completely over. I think some of these issues are finally starting to gain a national prominence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are starting to realize maybe it's because of the tremendous numbers that are now experiencing this. You know, so many people have come out of prison, you know, in the millions. I think the United States incarcerates more people than any other country in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And a large number of those folks are in for nonviolent offenses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just like arbitrarily certain substances were made illegal so that it would feed into a big prison industrial complex, as mm-hmm. they refer to it.
Let me ask you this. Why do you think there is so much hunger in L.A. County? What's the reason for that rich area like Los Angeles?
I think that L.A. County in particular, I mean, it's true of all urban areas in the United States, but L.A. County particularly has some features that lend themselves to creating more hunger. And one is the fact that there's a large immigrant population who is not certain of their rights or who are somewhat more easily pushed around or manipulated when it comes to wages. For example, we all know that there are people, you know, just being hired off the street and they're undocumented. And so they're afraid to rock the boat. So there's a lot of hunger there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've had some chronic unemployment issues and just a proliferation of low-wage kind of jobs. That's going on all over the country, but in L.A., I think it's a particularly noticeable factor. We have high housing costs, too.
Yeah.
So, for example, you've got someone getting a SSI. Like, what would that be? How much of their income might they be paying for rent?
Ooh, you know, some places could be up to half of what you make or even... Mm-hmm. Three quarters of what you bring in from SSI.
Go for rent.
Yeah, exactly.
What is healthcity.org? Can you tell us what exactly that is?
Yeah, healthcity.org was set up by the County of L.A., and that's like a resource and referral website. And it's so you can go there to find, you know, anything from clinics to places to get food, you know, where to apply for different programs. And it's even more than that, because in addition to finding the location of different organizations offering different services on healthycity.org website, you can also find some data and some statistics broken down by different regions of the county.
Mm-hmm.
So it sort of goes hand in hand with the 211 information line,
mm-hmm.
Which is, your listeners may or may not know, you can just dial 211 if you want to find these kind of services like health services, food services, shelter, and so on. And of course, the only shame is that there's not more services available, particularly in the area of housing. But 211 is a, a fantastic resource, and the healthycity.org website, you know, you can punch in a zip code and find out what's close to you. So even if you don't need those services, you could actually find out who's helping people out in your neighborhood. You might want to go volunteer, or you might have some food to donate to them. So you can make all kind of connections with it.
Can you talk a little bit, can you talk about the importance of fruits and vegetables, especially to diet and nutrition?
Well, for instance, diabetics, you know, they need their, you know, different basic vitamins and stuff. So they, you know, and also say the far as goes, say the kids. When you send a kid to off to school hungry, is that kid gonna pay attention in school? It's hard for him to learn. And even as, I was talking to Frank about this earlier, even too, like when people go to work, if they don't have enough to eat, are they gonna pay too much attention to their job?
And it's a good thing, you know, to get kids used to eating fruits and vegetables, and they're a lot more enthusiastic about it when they've planted those very same vegetables. You know, they've shown that kids who are gardening really enjoy vegetables more. But some of the other conditions later on in life, you know, Jerry mentioned diabetes. We also have hypertension. So many of us have high blood pressure, and there's different fruits and vegetables that you can consume regularly to bring that blood pressure down, especially if you make it a higher proportion of your diet than the amount of, say, red meat or starches or salty things that you're eating. Cancer, a lot of vegetables have cancer-fighting properties. And then fiber, you know, you know, helps cleanse your insides so that, you know, you're less prone to infections and to some of the other conditions that we talked about. So it's kind of funny that our country has, we've come around to preaching the gospel of fruits and vegetables, especially with the federal government, yet that's the support, the monetary support for those fruits and vegetables is not coming from the federal budget. The federal budget in the Farm Bill emphasizes crops like cotton and rice and corn, and there's only a small bit that's saved for fruits and vegetables. In fact, it's kind of funny. The federal government refers to those as specialty crops, almost as though it's something that's just a luxury that you don't need. And in actuality, it's you know, the flip of the way that so many of us eat. You should really dominate with vegetables. Yeah.
And also, did you know that some of the most healthier people are vegetarians?
Vegetarians.
Yeah.
Vegans.
You know, they're not building all the cholesterol up and, you know, like I say, for the hypertension, the diabetes, and, you know, the overall, your blood buildup. Like I say, you know, it's vegetarians are actually some of the healthy people that are around.
I want to go to, we got Michelle Autry. She's visiting. I know she's going to do a poem for us in the latter half of the show. But you wanted to make a comment. You're sitting in here. What are your thoughts on what we're talking about?
Thank you, Melvin. Actually, I was a vegan for 8.5 years. I'm still a vegetarian. But I just appreciate your comments, and thank you for an opportunity to comment on the importance of having every herb-bearing seed, opportunities to have organic fruit and vegetables, whatever you can grow, whatever you can pick, because a part of the mark of the beast actually is food. There are foods that are not digestible and genetically engineered food. The body cannot absorb it. The body cannot assimilate. The body cannot use or absorb because it's not organic. And they're really, it's not food. It's not nutrition. There's no vitamin and mineral content. So if you can at all, please patronize and support your local farmers markets. Plant your own. It's very important. And lobby your local politicians so that we have access, so that we can keep our immune systems strong, and then keep your body and your blood clean. That's the most important thing. And then I wanted to comment one, if you don't mind, if I have just a couple more seconds, about the prison industrial complex. I'm so glad to hear these gentlemen, how you doing? I'm from LA, Kent, about the industry. It's an industry. Okay, and they know if these people who have felonies because of past, I think, drug sales.
Yes.
If they can't get food, the recidivism is going to be high. They're going to steal for their family. And this is a part of the industry. It's money. You know, I have a poem, actually, one of Melvin's favorite poems is The Bounty, about how they pay to keep those beds filled. So this is a business. So like Bill Cosby said, we don't have to go there regarding the prisons. Not just black people, of course. None of us have to. So, you know, it's just a call. And if you have healthy foods, actually vegetarians are calm relative to, I mean, we're more calm people because we're not ingesting blood and meat, you know. And everyone is not a vegetarian. Some are carnivores. You have to obey your metabolism. But, you know, give it a try. It doesn't hurt.
Okay.
Animals are our friends, not our foes. Animals are our friends, not our food. Thank you,
Mel. Okay. Let's go to our community calendar, and then we come back with our round table and get into more of a discussion with this.
This is the community calendar for the month of October. Thursday, October the 3rd, starting at 8 p.m. And this is every first Thursday of the month. Public Work Improvisational Theater Event presents Story File. That's Story, P-H-I-L-E, File. They present music, storytelling, and poetry. The location is the Art Share, 801 East 4th Place, Los Angeles, and there's plenty of free parking. Also, Monday, October the 7th, starting at 7 p.m., the Anna Broom Room features poetry, music, and storytelling. And this is hosted by Anna Broom. The location is the Angel City Brewery, 216 South Alameda Street. This is in Los Angeles in the Art Share District in the area of Little Tokyo. Upcoming guests on the Qumran Report, Monday, October the 7th, will be Tony DeMille. He will be talking about the Skid Row United Musician Artist Outreach upcoming event. We're asking you to save this date, Saturday, November the 16th, second annual Downtown Los Angeles Stand Down. The location will be the Vortex, 2341 East Olympic Boulevard, and that's here in Los Angeles. And we will have more information forthcoming on this special event. If you have a community event that you would like announced on our show, send the information to dramastage1@yahoo.com. Attention, Earlene Anthony. A reminder, the call-in number for the show is 800-893-9562. Now, back to our host.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Arlene Anthony. Now I want to get off into our round table. I want to open it up to a round table. A few things I would like to discuss. First of all, I would like to throw out, what can the community do to solve the homeless problem? Well, how can the community get more involved?
First of all, stop looking down on the homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Two, give a helping hand. A lot of the homeless don't have information like cell phones. You know, you see someone homeless, try to get some information where they might can go or get some help from, or, you know, talk to that person. Mm-hmm. The person's not going to bite you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see if you can help that person out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm interested in the hunger problem. How can we solve, what can the community do to help solve the problem of hunger that we have here in Los Angeles County?
Yeah, hunger is really a symptom of a deeper problem, which is poverty.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if we create a society where jobs are available to everyone who needs one, and those jobs pay a just and living wage, and for those who can't work, there's a strong safety net, you know, with, support for people with disabilities or senior citizens, that you combine all those things, and then you don't really have a hunger problem to start with. But there's another aspect to it, though, which is that self-sufficiency that we've been touching on with the gardens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Michelle was talking about genetically engineered food, and it's like they're trying to shove it down our throats. So in addition to the issue of jobs and a safety net, there's the issue that we need to have what's called food sovereignty, control over what we eat, knowing what we eat and not just accepting what's kind of shoved down it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, labeling on.
Well, yeah, there's that, but there's also just that the more of our own food that we're actually growing, mm-hmm. and so we know where it came from and we know what went into it, then we become stronger. We're more self-sufficient, more mm-hmm. self-reliant.
Mm-hmm. How about what is healthy eating, and how can we teach it to our young people? How can we pass that on to our young people?
Yeah, I think we've touched on a lot of that. You know, what's mm-hmm. what's missing from our diet now, fruits, vegetables, you know, a lot of plant-based foods, mm-hmm. a lot of ingredients like fiber, vitamins that are fighting these diseases that are really like, you know, epidemic in our society. And it's going to take parents, I think, you know, getting back to the garden, getting back to the kitchen, cooking food and raising their kids in this tradition, because what's out there, what kids are surrounded by is, you know, just pizza and burgers and tacos. And it's got all the stuff that we crave in it, right? It's got salt and sugar and fat. But that's the stuff that's going to, you know, plug us up and kill us over time. So it's like we got to fight back against the overwhelming force of that, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, I come up in the Mississippi Delta. And one of the things that was constant that I can remember is just about all of the household had this canning concept, where they would where we had food year round. We had the vegetables that they would can in the little jars and all of that. And so you had that during the wintertime. What is the canning and preserving? How do they fit in?
Well, I think it fits in a lot. Yeah, I know there are some people who teach it. Like, I think they teach it at the Farmer's Kitchen over there in Hollywood at the Farmer's Market. But it's funny when you mention that. I mean, I think, you know, most kids today, they don't know where these cans come from. They probably think the can grows on a tree, or the can already had the food in it, or, you know, the food grew a shell around it, turned into a can.
Okay. Now, also, can you talk a little about some of the free food programs in the government resources? I think you might have a little time.
The thing about food pantries and food banks,
yeah,
their shelves are getting bare too. They're limited, you know, back in the day, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, they did have those, especially when I was growing up, you know, they had this thing they call government cheese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
a lot
of people talk about it, but it was good.
And the peanut butter.
Exactly.
I guess the powdered milk or something.
Yeah, well, that was actually good. Yeah. You know, we stayed with a, you know, belly's full, but they don't have that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's, we need to actually get back into that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, like, see, the food banks are, their stuff is just getting low, and
mm-hmm.
and where we can go is going to be real limited,
mm-hmm.
you know, to even get food.
Now, how can the interfaith communities fit in, especially in relationship to community gardens, since you got so many churches around here that have property? Is it possible to work with the interfaith community to have some, because, you know, we was at St. Mark's, and mm-hmm. the pastor there, they little green space.
Mm-hmm.
They had little gardens.
Yeah, it's a spectacular idea. And mm-hmm. actually, as a matter of fact, Hunger Action LA is located in St. Mary's Episcopal Church near Olympic and Normandy. And there are now three gardens at the church.
Mm-hmm.
When we moved in, there was one. It was the garden that had been there a long time. It's a church that was a Japanese community back in the 40s and 50s. Since then, a large adjacent plot that used to have an apartment building is now a garden operated by Project Angel Food, which is growing food to deliver to homebound people with different diseases such as AIDS. Mm-hmm. And the church has started a children's garden in the front. So the property now is almost surrounded with gardens. And we're hoping that the passage of the state law, the new state law, Assembly Bill 551,
mm-hmm.
allowing cities to create urban ag incentive zones, and the fact that we have 7 or 8, is it, brand new city council members? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of them are be very interested in something like this and looking for something new to do. And we have a mayor who, when he was a city council person, was extremely supportive of measures like this. So I think L.A., just as much as Detroit and some other cities, can become a hotbed, if you will, of urban gardening.
Because it's definitely needed. Let me take a little quick break. We're going to come back to it. But I want Michelle. We want to move over to Michelle. Can you do a poem for us?
Yes, thank you so much. Actually,
what form are you going to do for
me? I'm going to do energy, which of course, most of it is spiritual. You can derive energy from sunlight, fresh distilled water, and love is the first power. But most humans still need to extract vitamins and minerals from, again, fresh, organic fruit and vegetables, every herb-bearing seed. I would encourage vegetarianism, especially in these end days. This is a poem called Energy, Energy. We've got to learn to fast and give thanks for what we have. Pure energy, vibration, and frequency. Who knows? One day you might have to fast because these days are the last days of this age. And to be revolutionary, your energy must be pure divinity. Any revolutionary energy has got to be rooted in divinity. These days, to survive, to thrive, do you feel me? To be revolutionary, basically, your energy must be pure purity, divinity. Because I deal with energy. I do Christ-centered yoga and massage, you see, dealing with the cleansing of the body's energetic field. Yes, synergy, divine chemistry, and electricity. Open your meridians and flow. Please survive, thrive with me into your divine Christ mentality, for this is the new age, you see. Did you know that when you are clean, you can do anything? When you are clean and you are ingesting every fruit and herb-bearing seed, you can generate your own energy or just learn how to breathe with me correctly. Well, then you may reply, just how can we generate our own energy, really, when we are mere human beings, aren't we? I mean, we're not light bulbs or something. Well, the answer is yes, we are, because we are really electrically charged, energetic beings. That is why chemistry is really more than just a feeling, and we need fresh food, and we need distilled water and fresh air each and every day. Can you see? Can you say, oh, say, can you see? We have a right to fresh food each and every day. In my opinion, it should be free. However, it really does indicate bonding spiritually, that chemistry, something, being and needing more deeply than just a feeling. This energy of the energy generated electrically when we are really whole and totally clean and happy is more like the divinity of the energy field found around your head when you are cleansed internally and spirit-led, and you are doing exactly what God has purposed you to do with great passion and great abandon, too, free on the outside, not incarcerated, brothers and sisters. Christ and all those who are self-realized, love yourself and love everyone else and treat everyone else the way you want to be treated. Remember, Christ is the way, the truth, and the light. So cleanse your mind, your body, and cleanse your spirit all at the same time. Clean your soul, be made whole, saved. You see, that was the real message, the truth behind true Christianity. The powers that be have tried to keep it hidden from you and me. Be clean. The clean queen and king can do anything. Get close and become one with God. Increase energy flow, mean totally conscious creativity. You know, got the glow, then glow some more, because it feels like heat, pure electricity, creativity, productivity is divinity of creative energy, synergy, chemistry when flowing freely in me and into you too. If and when you choose, then please do use it, freeing, flowing with my creativity. That is just the way God intended it to be, free flowing from me into you. Now, if you got the glow, then just glow some mo. But you can also generate enough heat and light energy, if not for the whole of humanity and the human race, and at least for your very own space. So come on now, raise your energy, synergy, chemistry, electricity collectively to much higher levels of creativity and peace and harmony in the community when your body and mind are cleansed, not contaminated with all that filthy synthetically engineered foods. When energy flows directly through me and into you, inevitably it will reach him, her, he with love, and she and the whole world too.
Okay. Now, before we go around for our closing comments, Frank, you and Jerry, can you tell us about, I'm going to ask you about that People's Guide. What's the status of that?
The Red Book.
Yeah. So the Red Book, finally, at last, the 2013-2014 edition is out in English and in Spanish. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can go to hungeractionla.org. or you can call us at 213-388-8228 and order a copy. And while you're on the website, you can check out the other things that we're doing too. We have monthly meetings. They're usually on the last Friday of every month from 10 a.m. to noon at Lane, which is at 464 South Lucas Avenue, 90017. So yeah, please join us. You know, get a people's guide. Check the website out. Give us a phone call and become part of Hunger Action LA of HALA.
Mm-hmm. And these are not closed meetings that we have on Friday. They're open to the public, and you can come in, sit down, have your voice, and see how things go in your community.
We'd like to be able to get some for the stand down, you know, to see can we get some in bulk.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
For the veterans that come over there on that day for the stand down. Let's go around for the closing comments and your contact information. Start with Jerry.
Okay, my name is Jerry Higgs. I'm at, Jerry60Higgs at gmail.com. And I'm also at Hunger Action Los Angeles, which is the same website, hungeractionla.org. And you can call me there at 213-388-8228. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say, just help. You know, help your fellow brother, your sister. Help out where you can. Because when you want that help, you want it to come all, you want it to come full circle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I want to thank you for having us.
Oh, you're welcome. Most definitely welcome. Frank?
Yeah, I definitely want to thank you for having us also. And just to reiterate what Jerry said, go to hungeractionla.org and you can find out about the People's Guide. Find out about the Market Match program. Let people know that they can get help in buying fresh fruits and vegetables, especially as this November 1st food stamp cutoff comes up. You know, people can get up to $40 a month, basically to help them buy fresh, healthy food that they need. And thank you again for having us. And this has been Hunger Action LA.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Michelle.
Thank you so much again, Melvin. It was so good to hear from you brothers again. Thanks so much to Drama Stage Crew. I remember, body is a temple, and keep your body temple clean, and keep your blood clean with every herb-bearing seed, and give thanks because these days are the last. Learn how to fast. Learn how to be a vegetarian. Plant your own food. Be a liquidarian. Learn how to breathe correctly, because we're going into some times when food might be scarce. We do not want to consume one another. So give thanks and learn how to plant and learn how to share.
Okay. And Earlene, did you have a closing comment?
I just want to thank all of our guests for coming in and being with us. And we look forward to especially the coming up stand down, which I'm sure they're going to participate in. Also, I would like to give a shout out to my friend back in Ole Miss. Her name is Sandy. Hopefully she's listening.
Okay, thank you. Now, I would like to extend a special thanks to Frank Tormarello, Jerry Higgs, Michelle Autry, my co-host Earlene Anthony. Please listen to past shows of the Qumran Report on iTunes, Facebook, Stitcher, and skidrow.la. Thank you for tuning in to the Qumran Report. And from your host, Melvin Ishmael Johnson, may the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. I leave you with Willis and Shantae of Positive Light Ministry singing Reverend Eaton.
Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. This is a day that the Lord has made.
Everyone, get on your feet, because you're in for a real treat. I give you the Honorable Reverend Eaton.
Amen. Amen. I'm Reverend Eaton, and these are the Eatettes. And I want to tell y'all how the Lord done blessed me. There was something missing in my life, but I knew if I talked to God, He could make things right. So I got down on my knees
and I began to pray. And this is what I believe the Lord had to say. Teach your children about God. He want me to teach your children, y'all. Teach your children about Jesus. Amen. Teach your children about God. Hallelujah. Teach your children about Jesus. I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to help me. Come on. I need somebody to help me.
We wanna help you teach about Jesus.
Stay with me now. I said there was something missing in my life, but I knew that God could make things right. So I got down on my knees and I began to pray. And this is what I believe the Lord had to say. Teach your children about God. Teach your children about Jesus. Amen. Teach your children about God. Hallelujah. Teach your children about Jesus. I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to help me.
We wanna help you teach about Jesus.
So come on, help me. Come on.
We wanna help you teach about God.
I need somebody to help me.
We wanna help you teach about Jesus.
So come on, help me. I'm Reverend Eaton, and these are the E-Tets. And we're so glad to be here. Everyone looks so nice.
FCC.
Many have tried to replicate, many have tried to imitate, but there's only one true underground show. You have called it the real deal in underground extreme music. The Jimmy Cab's Very Manic Show, only on Skid Row Studios every Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Skid Row Studios.
Hello, this is Melvin Ishmael Johnson, inviting you to listen to the Courtroom Report Monday at 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time at www.skidrowstudios.com. We discuss issues that's relevant to the Skid Row and downtown community. Tune in and check us out.